Hello, welcome to Therapy Talks. I'm Chris Place and I'm a psychotherapist. In this podcast series, I'll be chatting with different people about their experiences, their lives, their loves, their challenges, and what helps them find their way forward in the world. I'll also chat to different therapists and researchers about the models of therapy that they use to get a better understanding of these different approaches and how these different approaches might be useful at different times for different people. Hopefully it'll be lots of human connection and conversation about the challenges we have and also about what helps us get through. I hope it's going to be fun, enjoyable, entertaining, engaging, informative. Anyway, let's go on the journey. Hello, everyone. So this podcast we recorded 3 weeks ago with Elul Taneri. Elul comes from Turkey, and this podcast was recorded before the terrible earthquakes that have happened in Turkey and Syria. So I just wanted to say that before we actually begin the podcast, and to say to Elul and all her family and friends that we're thinking of them. I think they're all doing okay and they're all safe, but our thoughts are with everyone in Turkey and Syria at the moment who are going through such an awful ordeal. Okay, thank you. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Therapy Talks. You'll have to apologise. I have a kind of a cold thing or the after effect of some sort of bacterial infection in my chest. I'm fine, but I'm a bit croaky, so apologies. But anyway, I digress. I am delighted to bring you my next guest, Elul Taneri. I'm sure I've mispronounced Elul's name, but Elul comes from Turkey, living in Ireland. Elul works as a postdoctoral researcher in the university in Galway, and I suppose primarily though as a musician. Mm-hmm. Or certainly that would be a significant part of Elul's life. And we're really going to have a chat today about her journey to being where she is right now. So, Elul, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And maybe you would want to say your name properly.
It is Elul.
Elul. Elul. That was close.
Yeah. And it means September.
Oh, really?
In Turkish.
It's September in Turkish.
Yeah, because wow. I was born in September. Oh, very wow. Obvious.
So it's easy to remember then for...
Yeah, know. For my birthday.
Yeah. September.
Yeah.
Wow. So Elul is September in Turkish.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's when you were born.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm Chris, and I was Christopher. And so I was born at the end of January. And I'm not sure... I used to think it was because it was close to, named after Jesus or something, but I don't think so. I think Christopher was the patron saint to travellers, actually, of like, you know, people travelling the world mm-hmm. or whatever. But I have no idea if that's where my parents named me for that. But okay. I like to think it is.
Yeah.
So I'm Christopher or Chris.
Let's assume it is.
Let's assume it is. So tell me, you obviously you're living in Ireland now in Galway. Mm-hmm. How long are you here?
I came in May.
Really quite recently?
Yeah, like, recently.
So, as in May 2022?
Yeah.
From Turkey?
From Turkey, Istanbul, yeah.
Wow, from Istanbul. Yeah. And is that where you're from, Istanbul? Or?
No, I lived in Istanbul for like 2 years, and it was mainly in pandemic, so...
Wow.
Yeah,
so you moved to Istanbul?
And then pandemic happened, kind of.
And the pandemic started?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And I like to think it's as a not a very bad thing, because it is a very very beautiful but very messy city.
Istanbul
is. Yeah,
it's very big, isn't it?
It is very big and very complex, you know. And when you are inside and living in it, you might not be seeing the beauty of it because of the struggle. Okay, of the city.
When you're in the city itself, is
yeah,
it? And
yeah,
you're in
yeah,
the
yeah.
midst of the chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
That you don't necessarily see its beauty.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it's almost like as a tourist, if I was going to Istanbul, I might see its beauty rather than the chaos.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And what were you doing there?
So I was a professor in a private university. I was teaching public health in a medical faculty.
So you're teaching public health, so that so two people training to be
two
doctors,
medical students.
Medical students.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a professor. I moved because of that job to Istanbul.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was actually working in government as a public health specialist doctor.
Wow.
Before that, and I just wanted to be an academician so badly, I quit.
So
from
you were
government.
Working as a doctor in public health, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As
yeah,
a
yeah,
medical
yeah.
doctor in public,
health area, yeah.
And then, and it's funny, isn't it? Public health, I suppose our knowledge of public health came into being, certainly in Ireland, when, you know, during the pandemic, when the public health authorities would stand up and, you know, there was a big, you know, every day we'd have these big announcements about how many people got COVID, how many people died and all this kind of stuff. So would that have been the area you're working in then before?
Yeah, before, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. And then you wanted to work in the universe, in academia.
Yeah, I wanted to be an academician. So I moved to Istanbul. A lot of people thought like I'm being a bit crazy because Istanbul is a bit a scary place for, especially if you're a lone woman.
Okay.
It can be tricky.
Okay.
For safety reasons.
Okay.
And for that, and also I quit a very good job with good qualities because I was working in a public place.
So, and like I went a private. Permanent pensionable job.
Yeah.
As a doctor.
Yeah.
As a medical doctor in this public.
Yeah.
Area. Did you find that job very hard or difficult or?
You see, when you're working in a public area, public, I can say public area, like a governmental institute, let's say, it's always end up being like a political situation, which I really don't like politics and, oh my God, in my country.
So there's a challenging political situation in your country?
Yeah. 4 years now. Yeah. And I really wanted to do science my whole life. It's why I became a doctor.
Okay.
I just didn't want to be like a kind of a puppet in the system.
Okay.
Just
so
you know.
There's something you wanted to be a doctor. You're passionate about science.
Yeah.
You wanted to kind of bring that passion into medicine.
Yeah.
And yet you're working in a kind of government institution.
Yeah.
Where it's politically driven.
Yeah.
And is kind of, I imagine, quite restrictive then.
Very restrictive, yeah. Something, it's very hard to do something innovative, you know, trying to go further.
Mm-hmm.
It was very depressing for me, like.
So that have an effect on your well-being?
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of wanted to get out of that position. And I get out of my comfort place, comfort zone, let's say.
By going to Istanbul?
By going to Istanbul, by having less salary in a very big city.
Yeah. So it's taken a sort of risk or something to do something that... Because in your comfort zone, where you have the big salary, or the permanent salary or whatever, you're not happy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I felt like... I just can't do it anymore. I shouldn't do it anymore, let's say. Yeah. Because it was that point or I would be keep struggling in that circle on and on.
And was your job then, was it like, were you seeing patients like in a medical, you know, like prescribing medication kind of setting?
No, I was kind of managing the healthcare facilities and they're working...
Yeah.
Structures.
Yeah.
Kind of decisions.
Yeah. So it was kind of like overseeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore you're going to be very tied in with political and government. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I often think when you're there's something coming to mind, that idea that you might see a way of working.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a way of working with people or a way of how people should be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of political kind of directions or the sort of restrictions to that practice.
Yeah.
And that can make it very stressful then.
Yeah, definitely. Because we are having all this education in public health and healthcare systems. Mm. And when you are in charge, you are not able to take decisions.
Okay.
The decisions that you think that it's in competence with the research, with the, you know, the education you took. And it's just, there is one decision coming from up and then you have to go with it. And I just can't.
Yeah, even listening to you, I can feel the sort of, you know, it might be just my chest infection. But difficulty of breathing. But I literally was feeling myself like, you're describing like you study medicine, you study public health, public policy, healthcare, best practice. And then that's what you want to do. And then the decisions that are coming from up higher are at odds with best practice and at odds with best practice in medical care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
you have no choice but to follow.
Yeah.
So that creates a huge a dissonance. You know, like there's an idea in psychology called cognitive dissonance. So that idea that I have, so it's like I have a behavior and I have an attitude. Mm-hmm. So it might be, for example, I think smoking is really bad, but I smoke. So my behavior is at odds with my belief, and that can create a stress.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about like, there's something about your, have an ethical position based on your training.
Mm-hmm.
That's your attitude, but your behavior is having to do something different because of your bosses.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that creates a lot of stress.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you made the big decision then, like to step out of your comfort zone, to leave, you know, a permanent safe job.
Yeah.
To go into academic institution in Istanbul, in this big city, which is complex and chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that at the beginning or in the middle of the pandemic or the beginning, just before the pandemic?
I went in December and the pandemic, you know, the whole thing started.
It all sort of kicked off then in March, wasn't it?
Yeah, in March, just a couple of months later.
It's amazing. It's funny, isn't it? It's what unites us all. Like,
yeah.
The pandemic unites us all.
Yeah.
We're
globally.
We were all there.
Yeah, we were all there.
It's not like Turkey's story or Ireland's story. It's all our stories. Like,
yeah. Were you washing the vegetables also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were washing.
With bleach?
I remember. Yes.
Bleach.
So, I remember my dad and his wife, they had the system. So the shopping would come in.
Yeah.
You know, scrubbing everything and big gloves. And, you know, it's a whole process.
I didn't
go that extreme. I kind of had this theory that I think I'd listen to somebody say, that's probably going to be quite difficult to get COVID. So, because I did it once and I went, this is too much hard work.
It's too much.
So just a lot of hand washing.
Yeah.
A lot of kind of this and a lot of mask wearing. And
yeah,
I mean, there was certainly a thing if I handle stuff, you know, take off the plastic and get rid of that and wash my hands. But I don't think I bleached vegetables. So I didn't go that far.
I went that far.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's quite, that was quite, but I remember that it kind of took hold of us for a while. It was quite.
Yeah, definitely.
So you were bleaching your vegetables. And,
yes. Because I just moved to another city, a big city, and that happened.
So were you on your own then?
Yeah, I was on my own.
Oh wow!
In the house, so yeah.
Were you living on your own, or were you sharing a house?
No, I was living on my own.
Wow!
Yeah, in a very unnecessarily big.
So you had
place.
This unnecessarily big house
yes.
in Istanbul.
Yeah.
When the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So, when it locked down. Does that mean you were restricted? Were you staying? Were you able to go to work, or were you working from home then? Or?
Or
did you lock down in the same way as Ireland? Or
yeah. We were locked down in our houses. Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to remember because we were technically healthcare workers.
Okay, so you technically go to the essential services or whatever. Yeah.
let's say if I went and a police stopped me and I just can't say that I was a healthcare worker. But morally, I didn't want to use that because I didn't consider myself as a healthcare worker. So, yeah, I didn't misuse it, let's say. But, yeah, I was in the home all alone.
Wow, all alone.
Yeah.
For how long?
When they removed the restrictions the first time, I just went to my parents' house.
Okay, and stay. Okay.
Yeah, and stayed in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and teach online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the Zoom. I discovered Zoom.
I've never heard of
Zoom before. You know. I wish I'd bought shares in Zoom. You know.
Oh.
I often think.
Yeah.
If I bought shares in 2019 in Zoom, anyway.
I knew Zoom before because I talked with a professor in Harvard before, and they were only using Zoom. I were familiar, but I thought like because it's Harvard, they are using their own thing, etc. But it turns out that it was not.
It's funny. I remember actually. I don't know if you can see. I have a PowerPoint. That's a projector for teaching. You know, just we teach some courses here. So when the lockdown happened. First time I was teaching on a course, like a foundation course in counselling and psychotherapy. And so we said, right, we'll have to do it. We didn't really know what to do, didn't know how we would. So I said, right, well, I'll record it. So I set it up in my house, this projector. And I projected the lecture onto it and I sat and lectured recording it and then sent it, put it on YouTube and then got my students to watch it on YouTube.
Wow. I respect your effort.
I did that once, and then after that, I went, there has to be an easier way. Yes. And then it was, oh, there is.
Yeah.
You can just go and just do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
And record
it's fine.
We didn't know about the technology.
Yeah.
But we learned quickly. So you were initially on your own, and then when they eased that restrictions after that first round or whatever, you moved to your parents' house.
Yeah. Okay. They live in a city very close to Istanbul.
Okay.
So I moved with them. I was working in that city, actually.
Oh, where your parents?
Yeah, where my parents live.
When you moved to Istanbul before?
Before, okay. Yeah.
Wow, so it was kind of like, that must have been, how was that then to go back to your parents? Or?
Oh, it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to live again with your parents after you left.
Yeah.
It's challenging,
yeah.
You know, you because you need your freedom. You are a different person now.
Yeah,
like absolutely. You are not that kid anymore.
No.
So
we kind of almost revisit those parts of our life then.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Definitely.
You know. Yeah.
I've had flashbacks.
Yeah. Back to your
my childhood.
Times,
yeah.
So those flashbacks, you know, flashbacks. When we said to say flashbacks can seem quite upsetting.
Yeah, I meant it in that way.
Yeah. It wasn't like a nice, happy memory that popped into your head. Okay.
But no, most of the time we were good and happy. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, you misrepresent your childhood.
Yeah.
I suppose it's that.
I just like to exaggerate.
there's something with the complexity of our lives, isn't it? It's a bit like talking about Istanbul as this complex city with beauty and chaos.
Yeah.
I think our childhoods and our family experiences can be a bit beautiful and chaotic.
Definitely.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And we can have lots of very mixed experiences that where we have love and some other things, you know,
yeah.
as well.
So yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's never
yeah.
clear cut.
Yeah, you know? It was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when we were together, when I was with my parents' house, I started to get in touch with some musicians to make music online.
Had you been before that, were you a musician?
Not professionally. So that's an interesting story.
Okay.
That I would like to share.
I would like to hear it. When you were saying that's an interesting story, I was going, please tell it.
So after primary school, I really wanted to continue just in a musical school. We say conservatoire, but
conservatoire, conservatory or musical,
And I was, you know, I was gonna go their exams. Like, I was on that level. I was taking lessons and stuff. And then my family talked with each other and with me. They said, you need a real job. Yeah. So I just postponed it. And then in Istanbul, there is a big conservatory. And after I graduated from medical school...
So you go to school, you do primary school, ignore music, you go and do like conventional school.
Yeah.
And then go and do medical school, train to be a doctor.
Yeah, the thing is, I was 15 when I get permission for medical school, when I won.
When you were 15?
Yeah.
Like when you got into medical school?
Yeah.
So how did...
Because that? I started at 5.
Yeah, okay.
Age 5, so I was kind of going ahead a bit.
Okay, okay.
So I was 15 when I had earned my place.
But you don't, did you go at 15?
Ah, yeah.
To medical school?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm, okay, right, sorry. I trained for years to be a therapist, where you don't act surprised and you just sit there and here I'm going, what? So, apologies.
Glad I'm not in a therapy.
Yeah. You're not in therapy, so I don't have to be all
yeah.
Oh, wow. So you got into medical school at 15 and went to college.
Yeah.
Studying. Oh, that's
so I was 21 when I...
Became a doctor,
yeah. And 21 was the limit for conservatory.
It was the oldest...
I'm sorry, 22. So 20, sorry.
So if you were... older than 22, you couldn't go to conservatory.
Yeah, in that place. School, yeah. And so in 21, the thing is, when you graduate in Turkey from medical school, you have to go and work in a place that government will send you.
Yeah.
For 1 year or 2 years, it depends on how bad it is.
Okay.
If it's very bad, it's 1 year.
Okay.
So mine was very bad.
As in, like, a very difficult job, very challenging.
It's kind of geographically.
Okay.
So I worked in Syria border.
Okay, on the border, Syrian border. Okay. Uh-huh. Wow.
So it was 1 year.
So that must have been very difficult, was it? Like, was there a lot of?
Yeah, it was totally a different world, whole different culture.
Yeah.
I was in a town, in the back in the Ottomans, when it was becoming a new republic, Turkey.
Mm.
They divide the town.
Okay.
Like, let's say north part is Turkey and south part is Syria.
Okay.
And they are kind of in the same town, but completely, in different countries.
Different, wow.
Yeah.
So you were in Turkey on the border with Syria.
Yeah.
In this town. That is literally separated by a line.
Yeah, by a line, definitely, yeah. So I had to work in there in order to get my diploma.
Okay, to get your medical diploma.
Medical diploma, yeah.
So this is your internship, you're like...
Yeah, it's a mandatory service, they say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, after medical school.
To earn that, yeah. So I work in there and the day I completed it, I resigned. To go to conservatory.
Really?
Yeah.
Resigned that job. Yeah. Resigned and
being a doctor. Yeah.
Gave up being a doctor.
Yeah.
At 21 or 22 or whatever.
22.
And
yeah. I moved to Istanbul.
You moved to
try to move.
Okay. So you've resigned. Okay, this is wow.
I don't know what's going on.
No. I mean, this is like, so you're ready to go to conservatory in Istanbul.
Yeah.
You've resigned this job in the border with Syria.
Yeah.
And you're going to Istanbul.
Yeah, I thought I can work in a private place as a doctor and I can go to conservatory.
Yeah.
It will be a part-time.
Yeah.
And my teachers, by the way, I went to the exams and I passed it.
Mm.
I started the school and the teachers... The professors in there were like, what are you doing? You are playing with your life.
This is who's saying this?
The conservatory.
The conservatory are saying you're
playing
with your
life. Yeah. They literally psychologically kicked me out from the school.
Wow.
Almost after every lesson, they were talking they're calling me and talking with me like, stop doing it.
Go
back to being a doctor. Just
why were they doing that, do you know, or what was the rationale for it?
Their main argument was you will never earn money from music. But I was not there for the money, you know. I was just trying to fulfill my dream.
Yeah, you're trying to be true to who you were.
Yeah, because it was kind of, I don't know if it's an obsession, because I don't think it's an obsession. I really wanted it.
I probably mentioned this theorist in every podcast, so I do need to come up with other theories, okay? But there's a guy called Carl Rogers. And Carl Rogers is probably synonymous with what we call humanistic psychology. And his sort of theory of personality was based on when we're born and when we come into the world, we have a thing called a self-actualizing tendency. So basically, that is for me to be who I am in the world, to be my truth. And whatever that will be, you know, so like when a baby's crying or roaring, a baby's actualizing. It's mm-hmm. like being true. So that's a really important part of our life development. We need that. It's our life force. It's like how we are, who we are. But then the other thing that we need is, according to Carl Rogers, it's like we need love. We need, and the ideal would be unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So when baby's roaring and shouting, baby is still loved. And then as we get older, we go to school, the ideal would be that we're loved for who we are. But usually what happens is certain conditions are put on us that, like, you know, for you to be accepted, for you to be loved, you need to be a good girl. You mm-hmm. need to be quiet. You need to be,
mm-hmm.
don't be shouting, don't be doing whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we form these ideas and then we go to school and we're kind of learning all of these rules about how we should be. So you've got this conflict, don't you, between this need to be a musician, like actualizing, and then this idea of these conditions put upon us. No, you need to have a proper job.
Yeah.
And so you go to conservatory to fulfill your actualizing tendency, your dream.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. It's like, and it can feel like an obsession because it's like, I have no choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it's a calling. Yeah. Like I have to. And then you're being told no. Mm-hmm. You're being rejected.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just quit after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too much, isn't it? It's like,
yeah. I really felt I was doing something wrong at that time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I feel really sad now at the moment, just listening. Like I feel uh-huh. like I'm, because I think it's something so sad. Like sad is like unfair.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. When I'm thinking back, it was one of the worst moments when I decided that I was not going to do it anymore, you know. It was very hard for me.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of giving up your dream.
So. It's kind of giving up on some fundamental part of your being or something.
Something
that's vital for, you know. So, because we have to cope with that then, you know, we have to bear that disappointment.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then from there, you go back to medicine? Do you go back to a job or?
Yeah, so because I quit at that time, I had to live with my parents for a while and I studied for exam, for specialization.
Yeah. For specialization.
In medicine.
Okay.
And, you know, if you want, you become pediatrician or whatever, you know. And there was public health also.
Yeah.
I was not very passionate about it, but I wanted to do something not clinical.
Yeah. So you weren't interested in doing clinical.
Clinical, work. Yeah. I just didn't want to be a clinician.
Mm.
I love it, and I'm not a person that will brag about herself, but for diagnostic, I think I was good.
So you were a better diagnostician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, detecting and making connections. But the bad part is I couldn't see them as, you know, robots. When some of my colleagues are really like robots now, like, you have to, I guess, cut some of your empathy channels.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't. I was really feeling very, very bad with every patient.
So there was something about, like, even that, you know, that idea of having to shut down my empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to function,
mm-hmm.
to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's at odds, isn't it, with how, like, I'm thinking of music and, like, the creativity and the sense of your... It's full of empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I couldn't do it. Mm. And also very important thing in Turkey, I don't know if you ever heard it. Around that time, there was a doctor murdered in the southeast of Turkey for not taking good care of their patients, which is totally false claim.
So that wasn't... So the doctor was murdered?
Murdered by a patient's son or something.
For not taking good care.
Care, yeah. Mm. He just went with a knife and killed him.
Wow.
And this happened more than once in Turkey. It recently happened again.
Where a doctor was killed?
Yeah.
By a patient or by a family member?
Family member, yeah.
Who was unhappy with something?
Or... Yeah, definitely, yeah. And really, really there is violence.
Wow.
All over in healthcare facilities, yeah.
So that's a whole different...
It's another level, but it was also important for me.
To make the decisions.
To make the decision.
So you specialize in public health then?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So where you're going to be working in more, looking at practice, like at healthcare practice, rather than direct patient care?
Yeah.
Like, so working with patient care, but not directly, yeah. Working in the management sphere.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I wanted to be in that aspect.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's like, there's two things, isn't there? There's, on the one hand, there's this, so you're finding a niche that interests you, even though there's something else that really interests you that you have to shut down on.
Yeah.
Like music.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And then it's like, well, no, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it mightn't be your calling.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's
like,
I like it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's not easy to suppress, you know, it.
Yeah.
But after some time, it's just kept. Yeah. I just kept continue doing it.
That's the wonderful thing about defense mechanisms. You know, we kind of just learn,
learn
how to manage in the world.
Yeah.
So was that okay? So then you had got you specialized in public health and then got that job. Was it or?
I specialized in a university for 5 years, and then I was in that job that first I was mentioning.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, you go to academia in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got to Istanbul.
Yeah.
How then do we get from Istanbul to Galway in the west of Ireland?
Yeah, so the thing is, I always wanted to work abroad to gain perspective, you know, scientific. Communities are way better in Europe than Turkey. Okay. So I was always wanting that. But before I came, not just before I came, for the last couple of years, there is a shift in culture.
In Turkey?
In Turkey, And... Not all of them, but most of them are related to migration.
Okay. So
from, you know, other countries like Syria,
from Syria. So people coming, refugees.
Yeah. So it was not very controlled, let's say. And it was kind of like a huge migration. And also it comes with a cultural shift. And we already had that shift before. And also recently we have very huge economical struggles in Turkey. So I don't know if I'm jumping around.
Please tell me if I do. Because there's a lot of different aspects, isn't there?
Yeah.
A decision that we make isn't based on one thing necessarily.
Multifaceted. Yeah. So right before I came, probably, the price of everything you can imagine, doubled.
Yeah.
In 1 week. And you just can't deal with it, can't cope with it.
Okay, so the price, you know, literally went. So there was a shift, there was a big migration happening, there was like a cultural shift, things were changing,
yeah.
Things were maybe becoming more, it was becoming more chaotic.
Yeah,
and
it
then
was.
Prices went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And I was really, really not happy with that. And also really not satisfied in my job at that time, because I was not able to, they weren't giving me permission to do scientific work. Okay. It was just about making students happy, or, you know, because it was private.
private
okay. University.
So keep the students happy.
Yeah, keep the system going. Yeah, okay. You know, keep the day going.
But that, whatever. But then it might have been odds with scientific inquiry, like with the science that you're talking about, like one.
Doing the research.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of time for research.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Let's say it was kind of like administration.
Mm.
I was like kind of a secretary.
Okay, as opposed to a researcher.
Yeah. And I was just not happy, not with the place that I'm living anymore, and also not with the work.
Mm.
So I was just applying all over Europe.
Okay.
And getting rejections
all over Europe.
And at first I was taking it very personally, you know. I shouldn't do it anymore, you know. I kind of felt worthless.
Yeah.
And because it was so many rejections.
Mm.
And my boss right now, he just wanted to do an interview.
Your boss right now?
Yeah.
So this is who you and Tom...
Tom, Declan.
Declan.
If you're listening, thank you.
Declan, I've heard a lot of very positive things about Declan over the years.
Yeah,
from different people. So Declan wanted to meet you.
Yeah, I wanted to do an interview for this position. And of course, I prepared. You had to do a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But back in my mind, I was like... Another interview that I will be
rejection.
Rejection. Yeah. I was thinking about that, but then it happened, and it happened very fast, like in a couple of days.
You were offered. He was saying, oh, we would like you to join the team.
Yeah. I really couldn't believe. Wow. Yeah, it was a very, very good moment in my life.
Wow. Even your, like, if we were filming this, the sort of smile on your face, there's a lovely energy. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. And also after having that moment, I was like, oh my God, now I will go Ireland. You know?
Now that's it, I'm moving to Ireland.
I moved to Ireland.
Yeah.
Because I'm an only child, I was very hesitant about moving, you know, yet that far away.
Mm.
And but we were talking for a while now, because you are seeing the country you are living in, and you are seeing the shifts, you are seeing the changes, and you can predict what will be in the future.
Mm.
There, it's not been... 1 year that I came here, and it's, I guess, the double thing that I said to you, it doubled again.
Okay,
it is going crazier.
Yeah, so the country's in a very difficult.
Yeah, very
state.
And for me to stay there, not also economically and also psychologically, would be worse for me if I stayed
for your well-being.
Yeah.
So you get this job and this opportunity to move to the west of Ireland.
Yeah.
And even though, as you said, you're an only child, and with the challenges of Turkey and the sort of economic climate and the whole shifting sands, I suppose,
yeah.
Things were moving, changing. it was almost like you had no choice but to leave, but you're having to, it's nonetheless a challenge.
Yeah. Have you watched the movie Belfast? I'm sorry if I interrupt you.
Not at all. No, no, not yet. I've Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
No, it's on my list.
Yeah, right after my decision, I watched that film and I was like, oh.
I have to go to Ireland. No,
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Well, I kind of know what it's about. Like, it's certainly about their early days. I mean, I'm familiar with the story. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but so I know it's about, it's the sort of, it's not about the Troubles in Ireland, but it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
And it's about life in Belfast with all the stuff happening around.
Yeah. Mm. And the family, at the end, they had to leave a family member behind and they had to move to UK. Okay. To save themselves, you know. I felt it. Leaving someone behind,
so you're
and
leaving,
you have to move.
Leaving your parents behind?
Yeah.
So it's a huge decision, isn't it? I have to move for my sanity, for my well-being, for my... And yet I feel like I'm leaving.
Yeah.
A real, like, stretch.
Yeah. Because I feel responsibility.
Yeah.
Like you feel responsibility for your child, but of course, very smaller proportion of it.
but that's it though. There's a responsibility.
Yeah.
There's a sense of duty or a sense of like, and it's really hard.
I felt that very much before I came here.
And then when you got here, did that feeling lessen?
I guess a little bit, because also we talked it through again and again.
With your parents.
With my parents, yeah. And they were like, you have to do it for yourself.
So they were basically saying, it's okay.
It's okay, yeah.
You need to do this.
They comforted me. And whenever I visit them, every time they are saying, oh, we are so glad you went. you really shouldn't... shouldn't be living in here.
They could see a difference in you?
Difference in me and also difference in there.
Difference in them?
In the country and
talking about. So they could see where the country was going and the problems and the challenges and that it was good that you left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, we are always talking about it.
Wow.
So it was, and also I didn't came alone. I came with my partner.
Your partner was in Istanbul?
Did you
meet him in Istanbul?
Yeah, in Istanbul.
So he came along?
Yeah, he was a Spanish teacher in there and he left his job to come with me.
Wow.
to the journey.
Well, that's dedication for you.
Yeah.
And so is he here now? Is he working now?
He's working from home.
From home.
Amazon. Yeah. It was very pleasantly surprising that it was a fast process for him to get job.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah.
So he's working here from home. He has his own, job, and you've got your job in the university. So you're here, and you're working as it's postdoctoral
researcher
in a particular area.
In a particular area. I mean, nursing and midwifery.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And working on a particular project.
Okay.
And you like it?
I like it. I like it here also. I like the project.
Yeah, so it's good science being done.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I know about Declan and that place, it's as we would say, it's proper science.
It's proper science,
Yeah. It's trial, I don't know, whatever. I hear Tom talking.
Good science.
There's good science and bad science. I remember there's a philosopher called Ken Wilber, a Buddhist philosopher, who used to say there's good science and bad science and there's good religion and bad religion. And I used to think,
bad science can be terrible.
Bad science is terrible. Yeah. So you're doing that. Okay. So you're here. Okay. So it's a bit like it's like that, it's like the story is not complete.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're here. And you have your job as postdoctoral researcher, good science.
Yeah.
but that's not the end story yet.
Yes. Like,
and the reason I say that is because I was doing my research beforehand, and I was downstairs in Lidl, you know, buying a sandwich, a falafel. It was very nice, actually. Anyway, wrap, doesn't matter. And I was listening to your music, and we are clearly very talented. But I suddenly was being transported. I didn't know you were singing. Most of the songs were in Turkish, I think. Turkish. Well, they're certainly not Irish. They were not English.
They're Turkish. Yeah, Turkish.
I'm guessing Turkish. It was an educated guess on my part. That's kind of very smart like that. And the song El Khalid,
Ne Kaldı.
I was like, with your voice, like, there's this almost a kind of a, I don't want to say operatic, but like this kind of powerful, it kind of raises up in the core. I was just like, wow, I was really getting into it. It was really powerful. So you could hear that the music, what I was, you know, when you listen to music and you don't even know what the music is about.
Yeah.
But it's talking to you.
Yeah.
It's like, so that the music isn't just a pop song or just a song. It's, there's a deep story in it.
Yeah.
And that's
what
I was getting from the music.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this. It means really a lot to me when I hear people like my music, and like you said, music can transport you. It's really, of course, the lyrics matters when you understand, but also it doesn't matter some of the times. And that song was particularly, I wrote that song when I was all alone in the pandemic and in Istanbul. And it's like, ne kaldı, it's what's left.
What's left?
Yeah, ne kaldı, almadığın benden. What's left, you didn't take away from me. Oh. It was kind of like my scream to the world. Not only a particular person, not only one person, but it was kind of like
left.
That. Yeah. It kind of starts like, I need to talk, just one voice, one breath. Because I didn't speak 48, 72 hours for one human being sometimes, you know? Yeah.
You wouldn't have spoken to anyone for 3 days.
Yeah, because I was that alone. So it really has a soul behind it. That's why I really wanted to record that one. I tried to record it earlier. It didn't happen, but I was like, I just have to, you know, release that. Mm. I have to put it out.
So you're okay if I play that?
Of course.
When I edit, I'll put that. I might get it off you in an MP3 or something. We can talk about that afterwards.
Just sort of,
because it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, and there's a real style to it. So I was trying to think, like, I was trying to capture that, you know, when you kind of say genres of music or whatever. I was trying to kind of like, it's like, it's pop, but it's more than that. It's not pop, it's something else. It's like singer-songwriter, but it's not. It's so
I don't even know.
Yeah, I couldn't even define it. But anyway, I really liked it. When you picture, say, if you allow your imagination to run, and you allow yourself to play with the idea of being a musician, of returning to the sort of, I don't mean going back to the conservatory, but metaphorically, you know, like allow reconnecting to that part of you that is a musician, and allow it. Apologies for the buzzer. We're a working therapy practice. But allowing, do you imagine yourself in music more and more? Do you imagine, would your hope be that music becomes a bigger part of your life?
Yeah, I really hope.
Yeah.
And doing music also, it's of course, it requires your soul, putting your soul into the words, into the melody.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I can't stop, because I'm not choosing to write most of the time. I just write.
I get you. So it's not like I'm sitting down to write a song.
Yeah.
It just happens.
It happens.
It's almost like a... It just happened. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Maybe most of the, I can say I'm not a very talkative person. So maybe the things that I'm not talking and observing and experiencing, it's just turned into melodies and words, maybe.
Yeah. So do you So in terms of the music, like in terms of, so you're a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play instruments as well?
Unfortunately not.
No, because
I'm lazy.
Yeah, no. So do you get, you'd mentioned that when you were in Istanbul online or during the pandemic, you met other musicians.
Yeah.
So do you work with other musicians then to put it together? Or?
Yeah. The thing is, when I have a melody and lyric in my mind, yeah. I also feel the vibe of it, feel the, you know, the instruments yeah. that it should be there. Or, you know,
so
that
like
kind
in terms
of stuff.
Of the production of it, like yeah. you feel you can, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of leading the producers that I'm working with.
Yeah.
I need this. Please, let's do like this. And you
so
know.
you're like sort of saying, I'd like to get, like, say, a guitarist or to get a drummer
yeah.
or whatever, and that we put this sound together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to lead the way like
so,
that.
So when you put, like, say, your music is on, say, Spotify, for example, where I was listening to it mm-hmm. there. So do you release, like, an EP, or how does it work? Or did you release a single, or is it, like...
Yeah, I released singles.
Yeah.
When I was in Turkey, I was sending my singles, they were in Turkish also, to the production companies.
Yeah. So, like,
and
record companies.
The record companies, yeah. And... some of my songs were released by them, but the thing is, they didn't do nothing. they were just putting their label and putting it out.
So they weren't like putting it on the radio.
Yeah,
no,
nothing happened. And with when they release my song, I signed a contract and kind of they own my song.
Yeah.
So it felt very unnecessary after some point. So right now I'm working with the producer that I want to work. I'm just doing, you know, what I want to do. And then I release it online myself.
Online?
Yeah.
Like through Spotify or through whatever?
Yeah, There are websites that you can just put your song and you can select which platforms you want. Yeah.
Wow.
And you can release... I release only singles, but I'm working for an EP.
Okay, an EP
English.
Is typically like four songs.
Yeah, four songs
like that,
or something, yeah.
Wow. So so I suppose what is interesting to me then is you're here in Ireland, you're doing a job that you like and you have a lovely team and you're doing good science and you're working on your music.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And the music is an untold story. Like there's a story that will continue.
Yeah.
Do you know, because we don't know where that will end.
Yes.
Or begin, or, you know, where that will bring you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look from outside, it seems like sometimes, everything that can be done is already done for the music. But I...
Like, when you say that everything that can be done is already done, what do you mean by that? As in everything that's written?
Written?
Or,
written, you know, the emotions a human can feel or perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. But whenever I write something new, I just think that it was not true. You know, it didn't end, I guess. It will never end, I think, with the music.
Yeah, like, do you know, about 100 things coming into my head all at once. Let me see if I can kind of grab one of them. You said there, you know, everything's been already written.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about, like, the idea that, you know, every experience we have is unique. And even though we can all experience sadness or anger, it's unique to our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that every song that's written speaks to us or different people at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about that, even like that Carl Rogers book on becoming a person, that it's a life journey. It's an ongoing process of discovery all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that music is like, you're talking about writing these songs as they come to you, like that they haven't been written.
Yeah.
Even though they might've been written, like, it's like you read a poem and that poem, maybe somebody's written about a theme in that poem, but they've never written that poem.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know?
It may be about the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, so, and so every song, I mean, we only have, there are five main emotions, like, I think it's like anger, sadness, happiness, fear, and whatever else, like, I don't know, I should know them, I'm a therapist, but do you know what I mean? Like, there's five, yeah. Like, and then lots of textures. And it's like, you know, all creative artists will write about the, well, like, many creative artists will write about these different feelings, and mm-hmm. and they'll be in different shades and different colors and different textures.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
just expressing it differently.
Yeah, and isn't it something about you're describing something with the music that it's like it happens to you. Mm-hmm. It's, you go into it. You're not sitting down to go, right, okay, no. This line will go with this line. I'm just allowing that voice, my voice, to connect
yeah.
to something inside
yeah.
of me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to...
Are you...
When you say it just comes, like, it's kind of like vomiting words, but I don't want to be
vomiting
gross.
Words. Yeah. Nobody needs, but
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Kind of, it's like vomiting yeah. words, for real, words and melodies.
I remember I used to write poetry. I haven't written poems in ages. I still love it, but I could never sit down to write a poem. I could only suddenly go, I'd have to grab paper and write.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, how did I write that?
Yes.
And I'd be reading it going, geez, that's really good. Or whatever, maybe it wasn't, but yeah. it felt like, it was weird because I'd be reading it going, I don't know where that came from exactly. I couldn't have sat down to write that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? So it feels similar when you describe the vomiting of words. It's just like,
Yeah, yeah.
And,
and I don't know if there is a scientific basis for it, but it's mostly when you are trying to sleep or when you are trying to wake up from your sleep.
Is when it happens.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I know when that idea, you know, people who meditate or whatever, that there's...
Brain waves.
Yeah. And so, like, when we're falling asleep, there's a certain brain wave. And
yeah.
that you can reach maybe through meditation, I think. I could be wrong, but I do remember reading something of that, and so that maybe it's something to do
yeah,
with that. Or,
maybe.
And then as a psychotherapist, you know, where I might be thinking scientifically,
yeah,
but more emotionally and more about, like, unconscious processes, you know, that idea that there's parts of me that are way beyond my awareness. But when I'm falling asleep, I'm closer. It's like I'm in the dream world.
Mm-hmm.
Connected into the possibilities, you know, mm-hmm. of my life, and when I'm sort of wakening up, you know,
yeah,
so for
maybe, yeah,
I don't know. That's just a different interpretation.
Yeah,
maybe my psychotherapy interpretation rather than my.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, but that's anyway. It's. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. I have to say, like,
me too.
It's been fascinating, and I do hope. You know, plenty of people listen to this and then listen to your music, because I thought it was wonderful. I was literally walking around Lidl going, this is really good, and I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know I had the language, but it was just that it was coming through me. So
yeah,
yeah,
thanks so much.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to hear this.
I had a friend of mine actually listen to it. He's a musician, and he said to me, he says, it's not my genre of music, but that person's very talented, clearly.
Oh.
Yeah, that was their response. It was like that it wouldn't, you know, the way we'd have, like, some of us might be punk rockers or mods
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
It might have different genres. It might be my taste.
Yeah.
But the talent. And I remember thinking, that's great.
Oh,
and
thank you.
So,
yeah. Like I said, I really want to continue, because I know I will be writing, probably.
Mm.
And I just don't want them to stay in my phone. Because most of the time I write to my phone.
So you write your lyrics.
Yeah,
phone,
yeah, yeah.
And then
my voice notes also.
Yeah, yeah. Do
so,
you sing into your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So I just don't want them to stay in there. I'm just doing it because it's just natural,
yeah.
feel natural
yeah.
and good to me. That's
so
why.
It's good for you. It's therapeutic.
Yeah, it's therapeutic.
It's good for your mental well-being. But also, it's like giving them life.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, look, on that note, we might bring this interview to an end. And I want to say thank you so much. Like, I've really, really enjoyed the last hour. It's Me flown too. By.
Yeah.
And there's so many other questions or things we could have talked about. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
No, genuinely. We'll play as we kind of, I'm telling you about the editing process of the podcast. So when I edit in the music right now, as I'm speaking, we're going to hear the music coming in. So okay. That's what's going to happen. And I'm not even going to edit this bit out because it's kind of funny.
Okay.
So the music will be coming. It's coming in right now. And then people will hear it. And you're all hearing it now. We can't hear it because I haven't edited it yet, but we will. So look, thank you so much, Elul. It's been really lovely meeting you and lovely talking to you.
Same for me too. Yeah. Thank you so much. So nice to meet you.
You too. And thank you, everyone. And I'll talk to you all next time. Bye.
Bye. Geçmişten, gelecekten ne kaldı?